This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial. You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Sitting here with another beautiful Sunday morning. And I have two guests here. Mr. Leo Bourget and Dr. Timothy F. Johnson. And Mr. Johnson is from the Frederick Douglass Foundation. And also Vice Chairman of the Republican Party of North Carolina. Is that correct? Good morning, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Carol, for having me.
Well, Leo, thank you for alerting me that he was going to be in town here, and hopefully we all can sit around and chat. And anything that I did a little background looking up stuff here about the Frederick Douglass Foundation. And basically, you got some extensive work and involvement.
Thank you.
So, for starts, tell us about the Frederick Douglass Foundation, what it's about, and where it gets its origin, and what have you.
Well, thank you. Well, first of all, once again, thank you for being here. And as I always do before I start speaking, I want to give praise and glory to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I also want to acknowledge my wife. When she doesn't have a mic in front of her hand, I want to thank her for being here with us and us enjoying ourselves. She just celebrated her birthday last week, so I want to give a shout-out to my wife. As we talked about the Frederick Douglass Foundation, one of the things that brought us here in particular was an opportunity to start the Frederick Douglass Foundation of Hawaii. We started the Frederick Douglass Foundation organization 2 years ago with a clear intent of really changing the dynamics and the perception that people had about the Republican Party. As a party official, oftentimes I would hear people say that there were no blacks in the Republican Party. And being a person that was a party official, I felt offended by that and just felt that obviously we hadn't done a good job of showing ourselves and being seen with a sense of pride that we oftentimes see from the Democratic side. So we started our organization. It actually began in Washington, D.C. We came out with a calendar called the 2009 Republican Freedom Calendar. We then had a summit in Washington, D.C., where we brought a collection of Republicans from around the country for our first summit, and subsequently we've had the second edition of the calendar, the 2010 calendar, which highlighted the history, in particular blacks, and the roles that they were playing. And I'm proud to say that we had a record 40 blacks running for U.S. Senate, as well as for Congress, as well as another 40 plus that are running for state and local races around the country. We have taken that on to really emphasize three pillars that I'm really proud that we stand on. We are devoted Christians first and foremost. We're proud black Americans. And we say that in particular because many of my liberal brothers and sisters oftentimes think that we, as a Republican, which they don't know the history of the Republican Party, think that we don't love who we are. We very much so love who we are. And we're active Republicans. I'm the vice chairman of the North Carolina Republican Party, as you mentioned, as well as another one of the founders, Troy Rowland out of Michigan, is the vice chairman for Grassroots. And we have our vice chairman, Dean Nelson. He is the executive director for Network of Politically Active Christians. So we brought all that to bear. And finally, we are very clear about two major issues that organizations such as the NAACP has chosen not to really address that are disproportionately affecting black America, i.e. we are anti-abortion, and we believe marriage is composed of born a man, born a woman, married to one another, one at a time. So we've come out there and been very vocal about those things, promoting of candidates, promoting of issues, and really addressing those things that are affecting our communities, that for whatever reason, a host of organizations, especially those that have been around for a decent amount of time, either have chosen not to address or just don't feel it is politically or financially to their advantage to address.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like a mouthful and a box full. My goodness, you're busy. Leo, how about you? You're local here, and you are a pastor with the World Christian Leadership and Training Center, our ministries, correct?
Yes, yes, and thanks for having me on again. I really appreciate it.
But, you know, the timing was just right to have Dr. Johnson come here with the Frederick Douglass Foundation because of what they stand for. As a pastor, as a minister, you know, we recognize one thing in the Bible. Isaiah 9:6 says that the government is on the shoulders of Jesus Christ, and the church hasn't done its job. Some of the battles he's fighting right now and he's talking about should have never occurred. You know, the vast majority of the people in Hawaii, over 70%, have come down and voted against same-sex marriage, have come down and voted against civil unions. You know, 70% of your population, and still legislators will pass bills or try to pass bills that come against the will of the people. So when I heard about you, I said, hey, we got to get this chapter here in Hawaii. So I've done everything I can to bring him here to help him get this going. It was a big election year this year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the candidates, they have to stand for something. We want to know what they stand for, each and every one of them. And that's what we're doing as members of this community, as residents of Hawaii, and as Christians, to recognize we want the truth.
Absolutely.
And without the truth, we will keep electing officials that will say one thing, get in office, and do another.
Okay. 524-1080 is the number if you have questions for Pastor Leo Bogier or Dr. Timothy F. Johnson of the Frederick Douglass Foundation.
Just call me Tim. Tim is fine.
Yeah, Tim. Okay. All right. We'll call you Tim. Now, on the show, I don't know if you've heard others, I like to get to the straight skinny.
You know, let's do it.
And I say that let people, I believe, and there are listeners out there that is on the other side, and for example, there's a brother out at Ever Beach, Bruce Wilson. I'm hoping he's tuned in this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I specifically want to strike a balance.
Sure.
Because that's the whole idea. I don't tell people who to vote for. But backing up a bit now, in researching with this entire effort, I noticed that the Frederick Douglass Foundation
mm-hmm.
is to address issues with the black community.
Not solely.
Well, I mean, I'm just repeating what you say on your website.
Sure.
And, you know, and I don't want to pull any punches here. I just want to we want to know about you, and others out there would like probably to join. So let's get the straight skinny rather than. So one of the questions, it seems that there's a disagreement with Obama in some of the video you have. It says there's a young lady that says the only people can take on Barack Obama is the black Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some attacking the Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, and then some say that the Jesse Jackson era is over.
Mm-hmm.
Does that bring... have you met with any issues or controversy on that kind
of... Of course. We went into this prepared to go into battle. I mean, you know, you don't come out in a position where 98%, well, I won't say 98%, I'll say 95% of the black community votes without thinking about it Democratic.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go. I mean, if you say anything, just like what we're dealing with right now with Charlie Rangel, you say anything ill about him, the first thing we want to do is call out the race card. I mean, since you want to talk straight, let's be honest that every time somebody says something about Barack Obama, if they're white, they're called a racist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's ludicrous. I mean, Obama's mother was white.
Mm-hmm.
His grandmother and grandfather here in Hawaii were white. So it amazes me that we can have somebody like Dr. Shabazz, who comes out and says, black man, how can you be with a white woman?
Mm-hmm.
And last time I checked, Obama's father was black, his mother was white, and Shabazz gets away by saying, well, let's kill all cracker babies.
Mm-hmm.
That would make President Obama a cracker baby.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to understand that we need to be real about it. You know, when whites are chastised and whites, we don't question it.
Mm-hmm.
When blacks question blacks, all of a sudden you don't like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hypocrisy. And we in the black America have to learn how to be able to be critical of all people.
Mm-hmm.
The first responsibility I am is a child of God. The second one is that I'm an American. I served 21 years in the military, and I'm an American first. I've never been to Africa. I was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio. And so I make that point intentionally because I think that we have to start being critical of all individuals, that just because that person looks like me doesn't mean that they have my best interest at hand. Otherwise, we wouldn't use terms such as black on black crime.
Mm-hmm. But when the listeners out there and others that may interact with you, what is the rationale or the justification for this is Daniels, I can't think of his name. He was at a meeting at a Tea Party meeting. Evan Daniels, I'll think of his first name. But anyway, he's the head of the South Carolina, Frederick Douglass, or the North Carolina. Anyway.
North Carolina, Kevin Daniels.
Kevin Daniels.
Okay.
And just out of, from the hip, unsolicited, he talks about how he pokes fun. Well, he's not supportive, or he disagrees with Al Sharpton, and he pokes fun at Jesse Jackson.
That's not from the hip. That's sincerity, because we have those individuals who have been perceived to be the spokesman of Black America. I wasn't at the meeting that elected them, and so I personally, at 45 years of age, get tired of people assuming that if Jesse said it, it must be true. If Al Sharpton said it, it must be true. If the Urban League president said it must be true, if Ben Jealous says it must be true, that's the wrong answer. We are not a monolithic looking, we're not a monolithic thinking, and we're not a monolithic voting community. And it's sad that so many people, be it black, white, yellow, green, perceive the black community to be this one looking, one voting, one thinking, one dressing, one everything. We're not. We're as diverse as anybody else in America. And we have to change that perception, and that has to come from within.
Yeah. So, having said that, you speak of the NAACP,
sure.
and you have disagreements with the Democratic Party, the Democrat Party. I, too, like you, have a great many issues and concerns.
Sure.
To some degree, we agree and share the same sentiments. But I'm asking, as many others as I've read the blogs and the questions, why do you have to speak on behalf of the Tea Party, and you reference your organization as a liaison to the black community?
Sure.
Is that this tone that it seemed to be projected, we're separate but equal? Is that what you're...
Well, what is the NAACP?
Well, No, I'm speaking.
I understand, but what is the NAACP? It supposedly speaks on behalf of Black America too. So does Jesse Jackson's organization. So does Al Sharpton's organization.
I can say that what is the NAACP? If we start today, there's many great questions. But if we start from the day that it's of its origin,
February 12, 1909,
whenever. But if we start then, when do you start the clock? They've done a great many things. Not to say,
sure.
And I'm not going to sit here and praise them because
right.
I too am dismayed at their actions.
Right.
But in the process, it seems that this whole effort, in my opinion, and it suggests that you want to throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak, and that you stand up and you attack the NAACP, and then you just run down the list. Jesse Jackson, and I asked you earlier, you know, because you've referenced that some people call you the spook who sat by the door.
Sure.
You're the Uncle Tom.
Sure.
Do you see any reasons why they would do that?
Of course, it's called ignorance.
Right.
Ignorance. I would start off with that. I want to go back to something that you said. I think is really important. Why do I have to speak out? If not me, then who?
Mm-hmm.
If not now, then when?
Mm-hmm.
I don't consider myself to be the great Messiah. I don't consider myself to be one voice.
Mm-hmm.
There are many voices. There are many people who believe in pretty much the same things that I believe in and are advocating on behalf of it. We have to speak out. And the difference is now there's some attention being given to us, whereas historically we were silent. When you look at 40 blacks that are running 2 years after President Obama was elected, 40 blacks running as Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
In this country, that's unheard of. Everybody was assuming that there would be this grounds for the blacks running as Democrats because of his ascension to the highest office in the land. And so there's something to be said about that. Why is that happening across the country that you have a host of people who look like you and I that are running for office throughout the United States? The other thing that I think is important is that, again, we're tired of people perceiving that one group of people can speak for all of us. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain issues that we have to be passionate about and have to be focused about. And one, the two issues that we came out of said were anti-abortion. That is black genocide.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call it for what it is. Margaret Sanger had a very clear plan of eradicating the world of blacks. The other issue is that same-sex union, as the pastor's already alluded to, as we know what happened in 2008, the black community came out overwhelmingly to support President Obama. They also came out overwhelmingly and voted against same-sex unions.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, why wouldn't we speak on those issues? When you talk about the NAACP, which many people look at as a civil rights organization, and for the record, I'm a past branch president of the NAACP, and I was the first vice president for all of Europe, for the European branches of the NAACP. So I can talk about the NAACP because I was part of the organization, know how it operates.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of it is if we don't speak out, if I don't speak out, then who's going to do the speaking out? And there are a host of us that are speaking out against these individuals and speaking out against these organizations because many of these organizations, it's about money. It is not about the principles. It's not about the values. It's not about what the organization was built on and designed for. And let me just go to this one point about the NAACP because when I told you the date, that's important. February 12th is Abraham Lincoln's birthday. Mary White Overton, a white female abolitionist, Republican at the time, who became a socialist, started the NAACP. Somehow we forget that little bit of history. And we forget the history of the Republican Party, which was the Emancipation Proclamation signed by Abraham Lincoln. We forget about the first blacks to go into Congress were Republican. We forget about the 13th, 14th Amendment that was offered up and opposed by the Democratic Party and passed through because of the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
We forget about the Lift Every Voice that blacks love to sing every year. Was written by James Weldon Johnson from Abraham Lincoln's birthday, February 12, 1900. So I can go on and on and on with history. And so I talk about those things and talk about those organizations because those leaders, those people who have been considered the leaders of black America, somehow forget to tell the story. They forget to tell the story of 1964 when some of them got their fame, that it was the Republican Party to put forth the civil rights movement, not the Democratic Party. Robert Byrd, who just passed away, did a filibuster trying to vote down and make sure that the Civil Rights Bill of 1964 didn't get passed. But everybody wants to talk about
who was the president at that time.
Lyndon B. Johnson. And who? But what representative was through it?
You're a doctor.
Go ahead.
And I'm an intelligent man, and I'll deal with you intelligent. I don't talk over you.
That's why.
Okay, so this isn't Sean Hannity and Fox. This is Carol Cox. That's, you know, you.
Go
I'll
ahead,
bring
Carol.
You back next week, and you can talk more.
Go ahead, Carol.
The point here is, you say they didn't do anything. Lyndon Baines Johnson was the president. Lyndon Baines Johnson, in 64, when this, he's the one who moved the bill through. Now, you say the Republicans are Republicans. John F. Kennedy also contemplated and worked and tried to do it. But unfortunately, well, let's see, you can't throw out half the facts and then represent that you're speaking. You got to be honest about the whole process. Wait, you cannot see the portion that sells your lunch. You can't do that. You have to be fair if you're going to be a liaison between the black people and the white people.
Right. The other side isn't always showing
the other side. Well,
now you put a requirement on me, but you're not being honest about the other side.
No. If the other side is as evil as you say, then why would you duplicate and behave as they
do? But I'm not.
So that's my point. So allow the truth to come out. But when you make representations at the Republican Party. I noticed on one of the websites, it said the Republican Party is one who freed slaves. And boy, they did it because they really, really wanted to free blacks. Why did they free the blacks?
It was about economics.
Thank you.
No argument there.
Okay. Thank you. So
why did blacks go to the Democratic Party's National Convention until 1936? What was the purpose behind that?
Well, I understand that.
No, what was the answer?
What is the
answer?
Black churches and white churches.
I want to go back to 1936.
Racism.
But why?
Racism.
But it was about the numbers. It was about the votes. Just like the amnesty issue with illegals right now, it's about the numbers.
Well, see that's my concern. I when you hear the term Frederick Douglass, I get excited.
Good.
But then when I hear the sputum that comes out that you talk about, and you have some valid points. I think that the Democratic Party has pulled the wool over people in general.
Okay.
The United States, the people. We voted for the war when we shouldn't have. The people spoke. You talk about voting.
Mm-hmm.
They've supported Obama. Some of the biggest issues that are out there come from the Democratic Party. His opponent, Hillary Clinton, made remarks about his Muslim connections and all of that. So I don't embrace the Democratic Party, but I say that if we are going to be leaders, you and I have a responsibility.
Sure.
No matter what our purpose is in life, we must start off being truthful and not wrapping the facts to make them appear one way so that we can influence others. Because that's exactly why we do not engage with the Democrats. That's why we are, and to say that Republican Party freed the slaves. Let's tell the entire story. They freed the slaves because they could not compete with the Southerners who had free labor. And that is the real issue. And, no.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that.
But let's hear that following statement. Don't just go, the Republican Party is our friends and they did it
but
with the Democrats.
But here's my question, I think, Carol. Why is it my responsibility?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it my responsibility to tell that other side when even what you just said, how many people even get into that conversation? I mean, if we're talking, let's be honest, that I have a responsibility to tell our side, which has never been told or it gets told very seldom.
Yeah. It's how you tell it.
But the key thing is,
and when you tell it.
But I'm going to tell it my way. Now,
you're a man of God.
First of all, please don't ever challenge me about being a man of God. You don't have that
I
right.
I didn't challenge you about being a man of God.
But don't say I'm not a man of God.
I said you are a hypocrite if you're going to sit here and say you're a leader and a liaison, but you're going to wrap it the way you want to wrap it.
But what do leaders do?
You can't do that.
What do leaders do? What do leaders do?
The ones that do that fail.
But what do leaders
do? And the ones that do that end up at tea parties with you out representing them because they won't come.
But Carol, go ahead.
Hold on. Got a caller here. Caller, you there? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. You have a question or statement?
Yes, I just have a question regarding the dislike of Jesse Jackson. And Jesse Jackson was the first black man to run for president. He was the head of the Rainbow Coalition. I remember that. I remember thinking how good it was that someone was trying to bring all the races together. And so I'd just like him to explain. I really don't understand that. Thank you.
You get that? Sure. And let me just say that Jesse Jackson wasn't the first black man to be nominated for president. It was actually Frederick Douglass back in 1868. I think that's a little bit of history that most people don't know. The other thing of it is that before 1984, when Jesse Jackson ran for president, he was adamantly against abortion. He was adamant and against eugenics and the sterilization. And if you go, there's a bunch of videos, a bunch of articles that can be read from Jet Magazine on. When he ran in 1984 for president, he changed. He changed his philosophy. He changed his attitude on black America. He changed his attitude on the black family. And so my concern is, while just as we were talking earlier about the NAACP, yes, they had relevancy at one point, but things have changed, and they've changed their philosophy, and they've changed their ways.
Okay. Thank you, caller. Tim, what's nice about this is that, as you might think that I disagree with you, if you took the time and know that how I so dearly agree with you in some of the issues, it is we as a nation of people, not just black people, because, you see, I'm in a frame of mind that if we were to continue to talk about we the black people, we the Hispanics, that's like putting a saddle on a dinosaur and trying to ride it mm-hmm. through life. Mm-hmm. That's not our future as a human species. We cannot continue that. So I'm not in disagreement with some of the things that you think about. It is how the delivery of it into when let's be very honest about it. There are some people who will be happy for you and I to go out and strike out at another black man or another minority. Because, you see, when we say the Democratic Party didn't do anything, I didn't see the Republican Party initiate a war or initiate an action that is so severe to say that it's wrong. See, so where were they? If they are the great party of interest and concern and altruism and what have you and freeing people, why did they sit back and be idle about it? And then I don't hear you talking about Tom DeLay and others, that there are people just as evil on the other side of the track, so to speak. But you don't hear the rhetoric. You don't hear that language. So what I think, this is probably what prompts people to say, your Uncle Tom, Oreo, I would never demean you in that fashion because you have a right, and we are not, as some people think, cookie-cutter people. We didn't come out of the same mold, and that's why I love being who I am, contrary to what the world has projected upon us.
Yeah, let me make a few comments here. You know, being a minister, it's vital that if I'm going to be involved with something as a pastor, you know, I'm also an evangelist. I've traveled across the country teaching in many states, that I look up and make sure the thing that I'm going to be supporting is truth. I was raised in Gary, Indiana. People talk about racism today because they read about it. Gary, Indiana was a segregated city in the north. As blacks in Gary, Indiana, we couldn't go past 31st Avenue and buy a home. The black police officers could not patrol past 31st Avenue in Gary, Indiana. So we lived it. I also served 25 years in the Navy, went in 1966. So, you know, racism isn't something I read about. It's something that I lived. You know, I was part of the movement of the equal rights movement inside the military to change all that. I was mm-hmm. one of the first instructors for that. Mm-hmm. So when I started reading about the Frederick Douglass Foundation, it definitely caught my attention because the things that Dr. Johnson's saying, he's the leader. He's got to say the things he's got to say because everything on the Democratic side is always in the news. I was raised a Democrat. I was a Democrat up until Bill Clinton got in office. And when he got in office and John Dean came behind him and began to change the platform of that party to instill abortion and same-sex marriage, those are planks in the Democratic Party. As a Christian, how can I support a party who promotes same-sex marriage and abortion? Abortion, for me, as a Christian, is murder.
Is there any Republicans that support abortion?
There may be individually, but this organization
I mean,
doesn't.
See, yeah. My point is, yeah. and please, uh-huh. let's go away with the same love that you and I...
Sure.
We have family members that know one another in Gary. We went to school there,
right,
whatever.
Right.
But my point is this.
Mm-hmm.
When we loosely play with the facts to accomplish something...
Mm-hmm.
We should be careful. We have an obligation, whether we're a pastor or a pimp.
Right.
We
right.
still, if we claim we're going to make a change in society for the good, we have to be honest first. That's our foundation. That's a cornerstone.
Well, let me say this, because you made this comment about Lyndon Johnson. Eisenhower introduced the first civil rights legislation.
Right.
It was not Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson tried to filibuster that legislation in 1961 so it would not get to the floor. Lyndon Johnson, as president, supported because he was president.
I see. Now, I didn't, again, you misrepresented. What I'm saying to you is that the way it's represented on your website, not yours, but
not
others, and the rhetoric that's being bantered about, is that the Republicans did everything. And the Democrats, it says right there, it says, you go on to say that the Democratic president allowed J. Edgar Hoover to spy on Martin Luther King. But who appointed J. Edgar Hoover? A Republican. See, so...
Yeah, but you can't hold the president...
But you can't hold the
president responsible when you appoint someone to lead the FBI. Okay? To lead the FBI, a government agent... Listen, that was a racist organization at the time anyway.
But I'm saying this is, I didn't say that. I'm saying his on their website,
yeah.
It says that J. Edgar Hoover was allowed by John F. Kennedy's brother, the attorney general, to go and spy, that it was contrived and it was a conspiracy with the Kennedys.
It was a fact.
Well, but you just, okay. Anyway, but when we...
I don't know that. I mean, if that's
what you said. What was the fact?
That J. Edgar Hoover spied on Martin Luther King.
Okay, we're in agreement with that.
Yeah.
But it is how you present it that J. Edgar Hoover was allowed by John F. Kennedy through his brother, the Attorney General, Robert Kennedy, to spy.
Well, let me ask you a question. If you're the President of the United States and your head of the FBI who works for you is doing something illegal like spying on Martin Luther King and you don't stop him, it's still your responsibility, no matter how you look at it.
Okay, well, I accept that. Now, we're on the same track now.
Okay.
And we're not going to have a collision because we're going the same direction.
Yeah.
What I'll say then, where were you 8 years ago for 8 years with George Bush, all of the criminal behavior, the illegal wars and all that, where were you then?
Against everything illegal.
But I didn't see you standing out there. You wouldn't dare. You know.
Why would you say I wouldn't dare? I've done for the last 8 years.
I didn't hear you out there standing talking about the various people, the corrupt, and George
standing
Bush.
Standing where? Tell me the venue that was available 8 years ago.
The same venues.
Read my internet.
What?
I got a 35-page website,
Carol. You stood up and talked out against...
Against everything illegal in the Bush administration, the last four years.
Have you called names and talked about the organizations, the white organizations?
Which ones?
I
thought we were all Americans. Why did they become a white organization?
No, listen.
I want to know what you're alluding to, though.
You're saying that the black people are into the Republican Party because...
Hold on a second before... Listen, he can speak for his organization. I'm speaking as a pastor, first of all, and I started this conversation with that. When you interject sins that my God says are an abomination in his eyes, abortion and same-sex marriage, homosexuality is an abomination in God's eyes. That's what brought me into this. It wasn't about the race. I live racism already, and I've spoken out against it every time. I was, one of the first people in the United States Navy to teach the equal opportunity courses to get rid of racism in the Navy.
Yeah.
So okay. I've always been right there.
My concern is that we talk about J. Edgar Hoover, and we're talking about God and what the abortions are.
So you brought up J. Edgar Hoover.
I brought it up for a reason. Because I'm only asking for clarification and asking in an interview to simply ask. You mentioned these things, so why? That's
well, I would have never brought up J. Edgar Hoover's name, but as a citizen of the United States of America, I know for a fact that J. Edgar Hoover spied on Martin Luther King.
And we didn't disagree with that. See,
half
of my point is, and I think the problem here is we're talking about two organizations. When I ask him a question, you in turn said, as a pastor, so maybe we shouldn't need to clearly distinguish.
Why? I'm trying to stay out of that side, but you asked me that about I was talking to you.
My point is this. Why is this? Let's be honest about this.
You keep saying that. What are you saying? You think we're being dishonest?
I think you're being more than dishonest.
Really?
Yeah. Because you're being used. You're allowing yourself to be used.
I'm allowing myself to be used.
Take, for example, here. Look at this. You know this young lady.
Angela McGowan?
Well, go ahead. Angela McGowan.
Okay.
Well, she's out of Tupelo, Mississippi, right?
Your home state.
My home state. Okay. Love it.
Okay.
And my brother knows this lady quite well.
Okay.
And a good person.
Okay.
And she's Republican candidate.
She was. Lost the primary.
She lost, right?
Okay.
And
although there's another gentleman that's currently in, name is Bill Marcy.
I'm knowing him. Now, I just so happened to go to Tupelo, and Tupelo is pretty well Republican control, correct? Predominantly. I mean, if you're
the Mississippi,
you're the
Mississippi
vice chairman, I would think you're
of North Carolina, but Mississippi governor is a Republican, yes.
Right.
Okay.
So, just to share with you and my listeners out there, see, in the town of Tupelo,
okay,
the high school, for example, one of the most appalling things I've seen in the most recent history,
okay,
is that they have homecoming.
Okay.
And they have a black queen and a white queen.
Okay.
And so I will accept all this, the talk that you talk about, Al Sharpton and Barack Obama. I'd ask that you incorporate and from your pulpit.
Okay.
Start talking about that. Why would such racist practices be tolerated by the Republican Party, who's the governor now? I mean, why would we do that? So I'm going to ask you. Well, right. So I'm going to equip you with yet another element, a cause that you can, quote, work and be the liaison for the black people. Can you do that?
Sure.
Okay, so I'm going to be listening now.
I don't have any problem with that.
We got a caller, Andy.
you haven't posed a challenge, that's
Andy.
Yes, aloha.
Go for it.
All of you gentlemen.
Good morning.
Pastors. God bless you, Cal Pastor, having this wonderful conversation on the radio so we can hear all sides. I'm already, your guests have already ably talked about the Lyndon Johnson filibustering the Civil Rights Act, but that's what I was calling about a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
But since I've been hearing this wonderful conversation, gentlemen, I just want to thank you so much, Cal Pastor, for bringing this to the radio, and I'll continue to listen with great interest.
Anytime.
Thank you.
God bless you.
The idea here is that, I have my own opinions, but we call this a radio, and it's for community. You might get angry, upset, but the idea is, it's so often to say they. And in this town, the Democratic Party, if you listen to my shows, it's the most atrocious practice toward people, period. If you're not in the clique, you're not with it. But then I can also say the same thing about the Republican Party.
So, Carol, let me say this, because you've been saying honestly, if I was king for a day, I'm in the right place to say that term, if I was king for a day, I believe that 10% of the black community should be Republican, 10% should be Democrat, and 80% should be unaffiliated. As a party official, I will tell you that too often times white Democrats take blacks for granted because we already got the votes. And white Republicans take blacks for granted because they're not going to vote for us anyhow. So at the end of the day, we're marginalized, if I was king for a day. The other thing that you said in reference to chastisement, obviously you haven't read Daily Beast because I came out against Governor Palin in reference to her support for Dr. Lewis. So when you say that, let me finish my sentence. When you say that I don't come out and I'm not willing to speak out as a party official as well as the chairman of the Frederick Douglass Foundation against people within my own ranks, that's a misquote. And I would like you to correct that because you said I didn't come out. You said I didn't come out about my side. Let me just finish my sentence. But you came out and said just on the air that I wasn't willing to come out on my side of the aisle. And I come out on my side of the aisle often. As a matter of fact, my people in North Carolina will tell you I come out on my side of the aisle. So it may not be on my Frederick Douglass website because my organization is different than my party role. But trust me. People in my state know how I feel, and if I need to chastise Republicans, I will chastise Republicans.
Chastising and standing out repeatedly, unsolicited, and when you're amongst, I've watched some of your videos, and sometimes it's unsolicited. And
what does that mean?
Wait.
What does that mean? It's unsolicited.
For example, there's Kevin Daniels.
Okay.
And he was there to talk about a calendar and a fundraiser, and somehow, the Jesse Jackson, and in the video, there's some one of your people on your website says, mm-hmm. The day of, the one lady says, the only way that the only people can take care of, I'm paraphrasing, Mr. Barack Obama is a black Republican.
Okay.
A conservative.
Okay. What's the problem?
Is that true?
If that's what she said, that's what she felt.
But my people are independent.
It is, but my people are independent. I don't control people what they say and how they feel and why they say it and when they say it.
But aren't you concerned with the continuity? I mean, if you have everybody's, then what umbrella are you speaking?
But it is continuity because we're free thinkers. I don't sit there and tell my leaders, and you're talking about my North Carolina state president as well as my Virginia state president. Mm-hmm. I don't sit there and tell my presidents how they need to speak, when they need to speak, and why they need to speak. That's not slave. I mean, we don't play that plantation mentality.
Well. Yeah, maybe you don't, but...
We don't. It's not maybe.
You don't play it, but you sure are playing the role.
Well, that's your opinion. You have a right to your opinion.
No,
that's your opinion.
Actually, you're talking as if we just got through playing a basketball game. I was trying to have an intellectual conversation.
But every time you make those quick statements, I'm going to check you on it. I'm going to check you on
it.
Okay,
let me ask you this. You talk about your organizations now, plural.
Okay.
Family values.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you spoke earlier about the Republican Party. You called them on it and some of the issues when they speak out. No problem. I'd like to ask you, I was in doing some of the research, and we talk about our personalities, our persons, and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading through this, and there was an issue when we talk about family values. I understand, and then somewhere in here in Ohio, you had a felony charge brought against you for spousal abuse, abusing family. Domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two charges at separate times.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a situation where you, apparently, someone on your behalf or you authored a letter saying to all people concerned that your ex-wife wrote a letter basically forgiving you and explaining the matter away. And she wrote that she had nothing to do with that letter and writing it. But in that, your response was that the Republican Party members are trying to destroy you by bringing up some of this information.
Okay.
Talk to those
I'm not going to. That's disrespect to my current wife. I'm not talking
right
about
here.
Not,
yeah, I understand.
I don't appreciate you bringing that up, so I'm going to let you
know.
That's a disrespect to my wife.
Well, we're talking about family values
and
one's credibility and one's history and one's knowledge and one's representation.
So what you're saying is that because of something that happened 14 years ago, I don't have credibility?
Well, you've spoken about history a thousand times. You talked about 1800s, can't you talk about the ones that just happened in 1890s?
I can.
Personally about you?
Absolutely, I can.
So
but
why should people trust you when you talk about family
values?
Well, you
know, if you don't trust me, I'm okay.
No, I say people.
But you know what? I didn't deny the incident, but I'm not going to talk about it.
But again,
I'm not going to talk about it. I'll talk about it.
I respect that. But then speak to the family values. Why should anyone embrace what you're saying? Can they be assured?
Sure. I do take it personal.
Well, then
you just said something about in reference to my ex-wife, and that's a disrespect to my current wife.
Was it not factual?
I didn't say it was. You said everything,
okay,
and I said yes.
It's factual.
But let's talk about family values. The one thing that I think is important is that I'm accountable to one person or one being, and that's Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
One being.
He forgave me.
Okay.
He loves me. And I move on from there. So I'm not going to spend a great deal of time defending what happened in the past. There are a lot of different dynamics, and truth be said, it's none of your business about what took place there. Yes, it was there, but I was elected the vice chairman of the North Carolina Republican Party with all that information being known. And the reality of it is, we continue to move forward. Obviously, my state forgave me. Obviously, the people that follow me forgave me, and we move on.
The 18-month probation you had.
It was probation. That's right.
Okay.
I was never inside of a prison. That's
you
right.
Let me make a comment on this if I can.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, this is the whole point of it. I think people don't understand. I hear a lot of people question Christianity all the time. My first question to people is, if you've read the New Testament, the main people that question Christianity have no clue what it is. Forgiveness is a big part of it. You know, Dr. Johnson's sitting right here with his wife. This is today. She knows his past. You know, I've read about that. I know his past. And that's the whole thing. My past. This is nice compared to my past. So God forgave me and also put me into ministry. I think every listener out there today is sitting there thinking, yeah, I'm glad of one thing. My past is my past. Thank God for that. But bigger than that, as Christians, we can repent and be forgiven of it and move on. Now, people can bring it up all they want.
Mm-hmm.
People can bring up things about me as I travel around. I've been divorced and I'm a pastor, and my main ministry is marriage ministry.
Mm-hmm.
God has a sense of humor. He doesn't care about your past. He's a forgiver, and you know what? He's an ever-present God. He lets us move forward from there, which is awesome.
Now, what I would reply to that is that I agree with you. And that brings me back to the opening remarks that I made.
Okay.
Forgiveness. So, Tim, as you said,
mm-hmm.
to call you, and you say you've had a checkered past about whatever.
Haven't we all?
25 years of the
Haven't we all?
Well, no, you can't jump to
Well, that. I'm asking, have you had a checkered past?
No.
Okay.
No, I've never beat my wife.
Okay.
Been charged
you don't know,
for anything.
You don't know what happened.
Well, but whatever. I'm just saying.
But you don't know what happened.
Violence.
But you don't know what happened.
Okay. But my point is.
You see, Carol, that's the problem I have with this interview right now. You're drawing conclusions.
You have a problem with many things.
I have a problem with many what?
Many things. Let me finish, and you'll understand. My point was, why do you speak out against the Jacksons and the Obamas and all, if in fact you can have a quote checkered past and then be forgiven? Why can't you forgive them? So the problem I'm having here is that on one point, when it's you want to operate in the real world, in the political world, but then when the heat turns up, you start reciting biblical passages, and I'm just trying to get a simple, if you were forgiven.
But you're talking about...
No, I'm not talking about anything. I'm just asking a simple question.
Oh, yeah.
If the public can forgive you and the law enforcement authorities can forgive you, why can't you ask forgiveness for people like the NAACP, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton?
I don't remember being asked for forgiveness.
It's not a forgiveness issue, Carol. What are you talking about?
I understand, but my point, I think I'm...
Hearing your point, but I don't get your point because you keep saying... I got that. I mean, I don't... You know what? I mean, if you want to make this a hostile interview, but I don't get with you because you've already told me you have issues with me.
No, I have no issues with you. I'm asking you questions.
But your question doesn't make any sense.
Look, you are going to be the leader.
Am the leader. I spent 21 years in the Army as a major. I am a leader.
Where did you serve in the military?
Where did I serve? Mm-hmm. You mean, where did I serve or where did I serve?
Where? What theaters? Did you serve in the war?
Sure I did. And I was in Bosnia. I was in Croatia. I was in Germany. What else you want to know?
Well, that's the other thing. There's questions about your military.
So what? They're going to continue to be questions, Dan.
Can you just do me a favor? Can you send me...
Obama sends me his birth certificate.
Okay, so that's the way it is, huh?
That's the way it's going
to
be.
So I'd like to openly ask you to provide me a copy of a DD-214.
I want to openly ask you, we're here in Hawaii, to get Obama's birth certificate.
And secondly, you're here in Hawaii, go down and request it.
No, I'm asking you to get it.
So what I would ask you also is that there's concerns about your Ph.D. Obtain your Ph.D.?
That's fine. You know what, Carol?
Ask and answer.
I have no response. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian?
Am I a Christian?
Are you a Christian?
You know what I believe?
That's a yes or no
I
answer.
I believe in people.
Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? That's honest.
I don't have to sit here and answer.
Exactly. I don't have to answer about a PhD or anything else.
Got a caller here?
When you answer you're a Christian, then we'll talk about some things.
Oh, okay. So you're going to hold me hostage. But see, I'm not out there speaking and saying I'm going to leave.
I know. You're hiding behind a mic. That's what you're doing. You're hiding behind a mic.
You're a radio show. You're out there.
You're hiding behind a mic.
I'm out there asking you questions.
And I'm doing the same thing.
This is unscripted.
And they can call you for your Christian. Are you a Christian?
Well, you know, my concern and
one of your concerns
is that if you're going to be... You're the one stepping out on the stage and saying...
Just like Paul, who used to be Saul.
Okay,
you ever heard of that?
I've heard of Paul McCartney.
Okay, have you ever heard of Paul, the person who wrote 75% of the New Testament?
Well,
you heard of
ask
that?
You this. There was also
so you're not a Christian.
We're not put in the...
So you're not a Christian.
Okay.
So you're not a Christian.
Let me ask you this. If you are going to step out on the stage and become the liaison and represent and lead the, quote, black people... out of their demise.
I didn't say that.
Okay. You're not saying it.
You're drawing a lot of conclusions, Carol. That's not even fair.
I'll invite my listeners to go to your website.
www.tfdf.org. That's all right. I want to make sure they have it now.
Give your website, and I want my listeners to be... You quickly got to say that I'm jumping to conclusions.
You are jumping to conclusions.
I'm saying to you, go ahead and give your
www.tfdf.org.
Okay. And how do they contact you? What's your email?
They can go at info@tfdf.org.
Okay. And so the idea is that these things that I have, quote, jumped to conclusion and assumed, these things are addressed and they're spelled out clearly on your website, the Frederick Douglass Foundation website, correct? I mean, there's video and all kinds of things.
Yes,
right?
There are.
Okay. And so, again... I have no disagreement with you in total. It is the method. Because people are being deprived, whether they're senior citizens, white, if they're Appalachia people in Appalachia. We as a people, as a nation of people, and a world body, we need leaders to step up to the plate And when our friends are doing injustices to others, then we must tell our friends to cease and desist. We can't be choosing whom we and when we speak out against them. Tina, you there?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a statement. I felt like when I hear things like, are you a Christian? So if I'm not a Christian, am I below everyone else and I have no rights?
That was a personal question.
You know, who was that for? Was that Dr. Johnson?
For Dr. Johnson.
No.
Because I really felt like, you know, does it matter what religion? I'm a human being.
Well,
so I agree
with you, Tina, completely. And my point of asking that question was directed at Carol because of his questions of me. So it seemed like he wanted to open up everything that had to do with my personal life. So I felt that it was appropriate for me to ask about his personal life.
But it just seems like that's the question that separates that, you know, I'm a human being no matter what. So the separation is what really worries me, that when we start labeling ourselves as we're this or that, then where are we as humans? And that makes someone else below you.
Okay. Okay, Tina, thank you for calling. Go ahead, if you got any comments or tell me real quick, we can take a minute, 30 minutes, 30
seconds. Pastor, go ahead. You can go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to conclude this. First of all, Dr. Johnson, thank you for coming because I called Carol and really helped to get this set up. Carol, you know, it's been a great time. I'm sure your listeners are enjoying this very much. But as a minister, I have got to also stand on what I believe the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And if I know, and I know black ministers across the country, my family members included, Christians, they're Christians, that are standing on a platform of abortion and same-sex marriage. And that is an abomination in the eyes of God. I just would want for Christians to take a look at what God are you serving and what are you doing? It is not right to back and support something that is clearly a sin. Other than that, do whatever you think you need to do.
Tim?
Well, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be on the show. I'm sure it's been intriguing by your listeners. We're very passionate about what we believe in, and I stand by everything that people will view on our website and on our website. And once again, our web address is www.tfdf.org.
Okay, well, thank you. And if you want to participate in coming weeks, you can call back in anytime.
Okay.
I mean, we have challenges ahead of us.
We do.
We, as a nation of people.
We do.
And when we make grand steps and we get things working, we need to tell everybody the truth and call them. So, anyway, I'm just always concerned when we speak of we're going to do things for the blacks and for the blacks. I'm not moved like that. And I think we need, as a nation, universally now, to behave in a fashion that we're concerned about everyone. That's why we're having these problems today. Thank you for joining me. See you next week.
And tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108. This is KWAI on the little 1080 on the AM dial.